This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Welcome to Dishy Mix. I'm your host, Susan Bratton. I'm here at Ad Tech San Francisco with some of the best and brightest people who came to the show this year. And the person I'd like you to meet on today's episode is one of my muckety-muck insight gurus, Bob Gilbreth. Bob and I have actually known each other through the internet. We're internet friends for many years. He's the chief marketing strategist at an agency in Cincinnati called Bridge Worldwide. And he is the author of a new book called The Next Evolution of Marketing: Connect with Customers by Marketing with Meaning. I love the angle. Bob's an awesome guy. We've had a great, you know, email relationship, so it's really good to have him here. So welcome, Bob.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. So I'm breaking one of my cardinal rules, which is you've come on the show. I invited you on not even knowing, and I apologize, that you have a new book out. And so I always read the books before my guests come on. You're going to have to do the heavy lifting. Tell us about Marketing with Meaning. Tell us about the book.
Well, you've got a copy now, just for the record. It's autographed
right.
And everything.
Awesome. But, and you're going to give away one autographed copy to a Dishy Mix fan. You have to go to Facebook and post your desire on the Dishy Mix fan page, and Bob will personally autograph a copy for our favorite post. So that's great.
Sure will, yeah.
All right, thank you.
That's what I've been kind of running around the world, frankly, trying to spread a revolution in marketing. And that's what the book is really about. I mean, it starts off, I talk a little bit about how the traditional model of marketing, where you continually find new ways to interrupt people, 3,000 ad messages a day is really no longer working. And I've been spending several years trying to help my clients, companies like P&G, Abbott, ConAgra, Red Bull, figure out what to do now that that traditional model isn't working. And what I found by seeing the companies that seem to be making some gains in this new economy is that they're not finding new ways to interrupt people. They're actually finding new ways to use their marketing to create things that people choose to engage with and advertising itself that adds value to people's lives. I call it marketing with meaning, and the book is really kind of a guideline for traditional marketers that know they need to do something different, and it lays out several tools, systems, and ways to do everything from come up with ideas to measure them and market.
Wow, Bob, that's a great idea for a book. You're going to do really well with this book, and I think it's going to bring a ton of new clients to your business too, isn't it?
It's working so far. I mean, yeah, it's great to kind of have something that's not just telling clients to spend more money in digital.
Right.
It's telling them there's a new way of looking at marketing overall, whether it's digital or traditional, and doing something that's really unique and again, working for a lot of big companies.
Give me one or two examples of marketing with meaning. Maybe examples from the book, or, you know, you probably wrote the book long enough ago that there might be some even more temporal examples of companies that are doing a smart job marketing with meaning.
Well, I think, you know, what started triggering the idea for me is seeing, you know, years ago, companies like Nike with tools like Nike Plus, where it's a mix between product and marketing and service, going to airports and starting to see Samsung put up recharging stations. Or last year, Hyundai came up with the Hyundai Assurance Program, which was not a new ad campaign. It was a way of guaranteeing if you lose your job, we'll buy the car back from you. And so I started spending time patching those together and then seeing even, you know, at a digital agency, we've continued to create marketing that people choose to engage with. You can't force people to come to your website. You can't force them to subscribe to your email. You can't force them to interact with your banner ad or download your iPhone app. You've got to make something that's actually useful. And so that's what kind of got me thinking about it and seeing that a lot of my friends in the marketing world were struggling and they needed some new way of looking at both traditional and digital.
So what's the most interesting new initiative that you've been working on lately? And does it tie to marketing with meaning?
Well, there's unfortunately, there's a lot of things I can't talk about. But I think that one of the things that's really interesting for us is we are doing more mobile apps. And I think that's mobile is one of those areas where it's leapfrogging into meaningful marketing. And what I mean by that, you've probably heard of leapfrog technology where in the developing nations, they're not putting in telephone poles. They're going straight leapfrogging the old way right to, you know, satellite phone or cellular towers. I think that's what's happening now in new forms of marketing, new media, where we're kind of skipping the interruptive stage in mobile, for example. And I believe, while it's hard to find the data for things like this, brands are already spending more money in creating useful apps than finding new ways to put a tiny banner ad on the mobile screen. And I think that's what's really interesting, to kind of see those new media maybe where they're jumping right to what's meaningful for consumers.
You know, it's interesting. I was on a hike with a friend of mine, Mary Hodder, recently, and she was talking about an application that she, a mobile app that she's developed for health to keep, it hooks you up with other people who you want to share together in incentivizing each other to do, to have healthy behavior, you know, proactive healthy behavior. And she said, yeah, I said, well, what are you going to do to get customers? And she said, well, we're going to release the app and we're going to, you know, try to grow it. And I said, well, why aren't you taking it to brands instead? Because they already have the customers and they need the apps. Why wouldn't you white label that for Aetna or Blue Cross or for P&G for their pharmaceutical division? I mean, there's so many brands that would love a brand new collaborative health related app that they would put their name on that.
Right.
You know?
And it's so easy to develop today that it is a couple people kind of coming up with the idea and getting in the market.
Yeah.
Another favorite of mine is there's a new web service where people are coordinating rides across country, kind of like the old college bulletin board, but taking that national. And again, what an opportunity for a BP or an Exxon to create that, promote it, and actually help people save, you know, gas, save the environment, versus just doing traditional TV campaigns that say how green they are or what they're trying to do.
Right.
So I think that's, you know, a little bit of that marketing in the future is brands have to put their money where their mouth is and actually do things through marketing versus just talking again and again.
So what have you been doing right lately?
Well, as a company, this is paying off for us. I mean, Bridge Worldwide, we're one of the top 25 digital advertising agencies in the United States.
That's awesome.
Our business was up 30% last year at a time when, you know, most companies, even in the digital space, were struggling. And I think what's really been working for us is approaching our clients really is in looking at digital to solve business problems. It's not just finding advertising or even marketing solutions. It's some things that happen, you know, with intranet programs inside the company. It's helping them create new organizations to be ready for digital. And by helping out at that strategic level, then we kind of earn their business for the long term. And I will have to put in a plug that we are hiring aggressively.
You need some talent.
In Cincinnati and New York,
okay.
Our two offices. So
great.
We've got about 50 open jobs right now.
That's not a plug, Bob. That's an opportunity.
Definitely.
We're always really interested to know when there are great companies looking for good talent. So that's awesome. Great. How would someone get a hold of you if they'd like to send their resume in or connect with you?
Right through our website, bridgeworldwide.com.
And okay.
Got openings at just about every level and every function.
Perfect. That's so great. I want to go back to, we were talking about iPhone apps and other apps. I want to talk about the iPad. I love your perspective on whether you think it's going to revolutionize, you know, print magazine style advertising or not. Because I have to say, I'm a skeptic.
Yeah, I have to say I am as well.
All right.
I think the biggest thing is the internet has not, you know, magazines going online 15 years ago has not revolutionized the ad model either. I mean, essentially they put in, you know, having advertisers, marketers put in banner ads, in some cases becoming more interactive, but magazines have done nothing really to integrate that better or to promote it. And so they've had 15 years to figure out how to do something online, and I don't think the iPad is necessarily going to be the revolution for them. Now, maybe it'll help them for their business model, that they can get more people to subscribe at a lower fund rate, but I don't see how it's going to impact advertising, really.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I ran a podcast company. I still run it. I just don't put a lot of attention on it. Now it runs itself. My hosts have a system. They can upload their shows like I do with my own show, Dishy Mix, and everything. But it was very difficult to work with Apple. They never gave us any data, you know, no metrics. I mean, it's a vacuum, that thing. And the iPad's not going to be any different. They're not going to change their marketing. So I worry that the magazine publishers are all excited about this new opportunity. If they couldn't figure it out on the web, how are they going to figure it out on a closed little system like the iPad that's really focused on selling?
I'd say the
units.
Same for marketers. I mean, banner mm-hmm. ads, you know, have very low click rates. You know, we see again and again, we do eye tracking studies that people literally learn to ignore the space where a banner ad is. And that will happen on an iPad that they're using just like they're having online. So that's why, again, we're trying to get our clients to go, how can you use the iPad to deliver some value, to create some, you know, useful app for their customers?
I want to also go back one more time. I keep thinking about the things you've just said, and I want to ask you another question. You were talking about the fact that, you're hiring, which is awesome. If you had one piece of advice for younger marketers, what would you tell them that would be the most beneficial career advice that you could offer that would impact their rise through the ranks in their organization, help give them a bigger salary, more than their peers who didn't have that secret? What's a really good little competitive piece of information you might offer?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think what's always been useful for me, and I think the people I've seen who have been very successful and leapt ahead and had great careers, is they have an ability to really look around them, pay attention to how the world works, and develop models for, you know, whether it's business, society, government, big organizations. And once you start learning and listening and paying attention to those models, then you can create a strategy for getting personal success through that. And I think too many folks just kind of go through the motions and let things happen to them versus being keen observers of details. And again, whether you work in a big company, small company, volunteer work, all those things can be applied so you can be more successful in whatever you're doing.
And if you can't figure it out yourself by looking around and looking at the details, ask somebody.
Oh, sure. I
mean, ask people to explain how the landscape of a business works or what the big machinations of an industry are.
Right.
That is really important.
I recently went through that myself in publishing my book. Never done it before.
Right.
I went out and found five or six authors that I knew and just sucked their brains for every information I could find and tested some things, tried some things, decided what I was going to use and what I wasn't. And now it's funny because I had a meeting last week with someone I know that now he's trying to write a book and was sucking my knowledge out. And I think that's also fun, and I think that's part of the social media world that, in business that helps us all be more successful as well.
So give us your approach with your book. How did you get it published? And, tell me what you netted out at with regard to getting your book done.
Discovered, first of all, that it was very important to get a publisher versus self-publishing.
A real imprimatur, if you will.
It's a little more credibility. They help you tighten it up, make sure it's strong. And, of course,
You went to McGraw-Hill. Good for you.
Went to McGraw-Hill. They were great. At the same time, also learned that you do have to do most of the marketing yourself.
They
help you get it out there and get it on the shelves, but you've got to do
a lot of
things.
They're distributors. They're not marketers.
That's right. And so we've done some pretty neat things. I mean,
you have a mobile app.
We have a mobile app.
Tell us about that.
Well, I will say it's the first I've ever seen anyone do this, and it came from my boss, our president, was reading an early version of the book. He says, wow, you talk about all these great examples, and can you get some more pictures and website shots? And went to McGraw-Hill, and I said, how do we do that? And I said, well, forget it. It's so hard to get the approvals from companies to get even screenshots in. And it was about that time that we were starting to play more with iPhone apps in our company, and somebody in my group came up with the idea of, well, what if we had an iPhone app where for every example and every page, you could actually open it up and click a link and actually see the example in person that was mentioned in the book. So when I talk about the Dove Evolution video, within two clicks, you can play the video in your hand right there. Every article you can link to, every quote, I've got the source. And found that as something really interesting. And again, practicing what we're preaching, marketing with meaning. And I think, it's also a step toward a traditional medium like books, trying to be more interactive without necessarily going straight to an e-reader, for example.
Do you think that that app is going to drive any purchases of the book? There's so many apps. How does it, can it really rise to any level of notoriety to get more books sold? Or do you think it's more of a value add to your book that extends your brand?
Yeah, I think it's purely value add for the book.
Yeah,
so when people are
too.
At the shelf,
right.
And they turn it over and they're, looking at some, I've got some nice endorsements from people like Seth Godin and Jim Stengel. And then they see a picture of the iPhone app and wow, that's kind of cool. Maybe that's worth the $27.95 right there.
Competitive differentiation.
Of course. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And what are you doing to promote the book to get people to purchase it? What are the two things that you're doing that are driving the most sales of your book?
I'd say the two biggest are my blog, which I've actually had going for a year and a half before it was even published in October. Really started driving people who became fans of this idea way in advance and helped get it off to a fast start. And now Twitter is a huge source of traffic. I mean, it's something where I can share, five or six examples a day of companies that are doing meaningful marketing. What's great about Twitter is when you have that theme, when you have something you can be very specific about, people are subscribing to that, liking what I'm bringing them. And as the person creating the tweets, it helps me focus and make sure I'm delivering my audience something that's value add, again, in addition to the book.
It totally makes sense. And I will, of course, have all of the links and the follows for Bob on his page. So if you go to personallifemedia.com and you click on the Dishy Mix logo, you'll go right to the page where you can find Bob's episode, and then all of his links will be there. So it'll be easy to find. Social media, you were talking a bit about using Twitter. Are there any dirty little secrets about social media? I love asking that question.
Yeah, I think, you know, the biggest dirty little secret that I see and what I warn our clients about is there's really no such thing as scale. And that's the idea of scale being I can hit a button as a marketer and hit and impact millions, if not tens of millions of people, like playing your commercial on primetime television. That world is going away in mass media and traditional interruptive media. You can't get that mass anymore. And social media, mobile, it's not going to replace the scale. It's going to be more about having very strong connections with that small group, which actually is your main source of sales. And I think the real dirty little secret is marketing overall, is that mass doesn't exist. Most brands have that 5% of customers that drive 90% of the profit. And even marketing for most brands is only is responsible for about 20% of sales. It's, you know, other things like do the people like your product or not that are much more important than whatever ad you place. So I think that's where we could see the world kind of changing to be about really focusing on your key fans and people who love you versus scattering your message across a lot of people who don't care.
Absolutely. I've had a really good experience recently with Rapleaf, R-A-P-L-E-A-F. I got to know them a bit, and they took my database of my connectors, my connections, all the people that I'm connected to, and came back to me with a rank ordered list of my influencers. So who are the people that are my friends in my database of years of doing ad tech programming? That's how we met. You spoke at Ad Tech for me, and you know, all of the places I've spoken and all those things. And it was very interesting to see who my top influencers were and how much they were the people that I was already really connected to and following. They were people that I had deep personal relationships with. Not, in a few occasions, not deep personal relationships. You know, one of the most influential people that I'm connected to is Guy Kawasaki. Of course, Guy will take my phone calls. He's been on my shows. He's not a close personal friend. I admire him very much. But a lot of the people were people that I tend to hang out with. And I just really like the idea of brands being able to tap into their database of customers and understand now who those key influencers are and where they're spending their time, and then social listening. What are they saying? And how do we create something special for those people, that small percentage of people, the 80-20, those people that can move the needle and generate revenue for your product? It's fascinating to see how that's going to evolve. You know, going from now we're doing influencer identification and social listening, learning and moving toward what are the right ways, what's the etiquette in the social media sphere? And I think you're absolutely onto something when you put it in a meaning-based context. You know, I have an interesting book that I've published that I am going to send you a free copy of. I just launched a new information product. It's called The Meaning Solution, and it's with Dr. Eric Maisel. He's written over 30 books. He actually invented the category of creativity coaching. He works with artists and writers, and that's the world that he's come out with. And in his development over the last 20 years of creating this whole category of creativity coaching, he realized that a lot of times what happens to creative people is they get a little bit of an existential crisis when a project is over, and they kind of get depressed, you know, because they're done with their like manic creative phase. So then he started teaching people how to find their purpose and have a purpose that would transcend the project by project, you know, manic piece of what they do. And he developed something that would help almost automate in a way defining one's life purpose. And he realized that to understand what your mission statement is in life or what your life purpose is, and they can change over time, but what is your life purpose right now is actually driven from a deeper set of values. So we created a product because I don't publish hard books. I publish downloadable books, but they come with workbooks and audio files. They're very multimodal. And so I like to find topics where you need to have more than just a book to get the thing across. And this was a perfect kind of a concept for an information product. And what he does is he walks you through identifying what your actual, we all have a value system that's very different, you know, they're like a thumbprint, you know, and from there you can develop your life purpose. And it's all about making meaning in your life. You make meaning by doing things that hit your value system in a way that is important to you. And so I think you'd enjoy the process of going through this.
In fact, it marries very well to how I end the book, is talking about when you're doing meaningful marketing, you have a much more meaningful career.
That's it.
I mean, it's, you love getting up in the morning when you're creating marketing that people love and
yes.
that they're raving about. Versus creating marketing that annoys people and you're embarrassed to talk about at a cocktail party.
And it's super important for the millennials, because, you know, all these people that you're trying to hire at these junior levels, they want to work for companies that make meaning. That's the most important thing to the millennials, that they have a much higher value than the Gen X and Gen Y did yeah. around meaning. So you're right at the cusp of where it's all going. I love that. That's cool. All right. So we're going to trade books.
That's
okay.
Good.
So we're going to end the show, but I just wanted to know, you know, you're a Cincinnati guy, right?
Yeah.
You're a Cincy boy. You're a Midwestern guy. You're here in San Francisco. What's the one thing you're going to do when you sneak away to do something fun here in our beautiful city?
Well, tomorrow night, there's two other Cincinnati folks that have recently moved out here, friends of mine, long-term friends.
Okay.
That we're going to go have dinner at the Slant of Door, my favorite place in town. So.
I love it, too. You're going to go to the one that's at the ferry building.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome there. You've got to get there a little early and just kind of cruise the ferry building. Have you been there yet?
Yeah, I think there's even sea lions out there back, or maybe somewhere.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
There could be. Yeah, that whole Embarcadero now, when the bridge fell down from the earthquake and they got rid of all the rubble, that whole area has now been just kind of gentrified, and it's absolutely gorgeous. So that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Enjoy that. You know what I like about the Slanted Door? Are you a wine drinker at all?
Oh, yes.
What they do, I mean, it's Vietnamese food. And so for me, of all of the places that I've ever eaten any kind of more Asian style, this is Southeast Asian, but Asian style food, they do the best with wine pairing. Their wine pairings, you just put yourself in the hands of your waiter or whomever, and there might even have a sommelier. And let them pour you wines with your courses, just small tastes with your courses. Try not to get too drunk, Bob.
That's what I love to do.
You love to get drunk?
Well, not drunk, the wine pairings.
The wine pairings,
chef's,
exactly.
Any chef's meal with the wine pairings.
I always go for it. Me too. Yeah. I totally love that. And their wine pairings are extraordinary, so enjoy that.
Great. Thanks for the tip.
Awesome. Well, you have been so much fun to get to know, Bob. Thank you so much for coming on to my muckety muck series at AdTech San Francisco. It was my pleasure. You got to meet Bob Gilbreth, Chief Marketing Strategist just a Bridge Worldwide, and the author of The Next Evolution of Marketing: Connect with Customers by Marketing with Meaning. You can go to marketingwithmeaning.com to learn more about the book, and one of you lucky Dishy Mix fans is going to win a free personally autographed copy. So go ahead to the Dishy Mix fan page on Facebook. You can go to dishymixfan.com, post your desire, and Bob and I will pick our favorite, so make it good, and you will get your own copy of The Next Evolution of Marketing. Thanks so much. I'm your host, Susan Bratton. Have a great day, and I'll connect with you on the next episode. Take care.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.